my destiny.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I'm pleased that, as it says, no power of hell, nothing can stop Jesus. And I'm glad that he commands my destiny. He's in control of my destiny. That gives me a great comfort, a great peace, a great security to know that he commands my destiny. So often we can be blown off course by things, stuff. Sometimes even the devil can take us off on a detour. But I love that truth in that song, that he commands my destiny. Well, it's good to be with you again this morning, and we've Joy and I have been missing for 2 or 3 months. We spent about a month in Future Ventura, one of the Canary Islands, leading an English-speaking church out there, because I don't speak Spanish. I often say it's a small island 60 miles off the west coast of Africa. It sounds a bit more exotic then, doesn't it, than the Canary Islands. But we led a church out there for just over a month while the English pastors were back in England having a furlough. And it was a good time. And people think Canary Islands, oh, it's a holiday island. But we did do some work and led the church out there. And we were blessed because we went to give. But, you know, while we were out there, God gave to us. And God put people across our paths that had input into our lives, that blessed us. We saw answers to prayer. And so we're thankful to God. Although we went out there, in a sense, to serve him, he blessed us in return. And I'm thankful to God for that. But we're now back in the UK and back into normal life, if life is ever normal. And what time do we finish, David? He always says, take as much time as you like. But I like to be gracious and... we'll see how it goes, shall we? Okay. I forget where I got to. But we're back in normal life and serving God around various churches in the Kent and East Sussex area. What I want to what I want to bring to you this morning, I'll start bringing to you this morning, and perhaps when I come back next month I can finish it off or carry it on. As I often do, but a couple of weeks ago we had the privilege of attending a conference. It was a Hillsong's conference, a European conference up in the O2 arena, and my son and daughter-in-law had bought us the tickets, so we didn't have to pay, which is a blessing as well, and I'll go anywhere if someone pays for me. But during the conference, and you might have different thoughts about Hillsong's, what they do and how they do it and stuff like that, but I went there kind of ready for God to bless me, God to speak to me, and I'm pleased he did, because he challenged me, particularly in one of the messages, and probably the biggest challenge in the ministry. And our brother said this morning, you know, God wants to challenge us at times, and there was a guy from America, and he began preaching from Acts chapter 2, and being a Pentecostal church, You'll probably know it off by heart. You'll probably be able to repeat it word for word, probably better than I can. And he started talking about what the Bible says about when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And he read from Acts chapter 2, verse 17. If you've got the Bibles, you can turn to it. I tend to use the NIV, but it all says roughly the same thing. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. That's male and female, so there's no gender exclusion. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. So there's no age exclusion. And I don't think, in my understanding of Scripture, it doesn't, you know, it says young men and old men, but I don't think it is gender specific or age specific. Even on my servants, both men and women, because I think this proves it, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. And the preacher was saying, sometimes we've almost redefined what the Holy Spirit will do when it comes, when he sends the Holy Spirit, when he pours out his Spirit on people. Sometimes we've redefined what the Holy Spirit is going to do. And to cut a long story short, he kind of just homed in on one thing which really spoke to me. It says, your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. And as I said, I don't think this is gender specific. I don't think it's age specific, because it talks about young and old. But the question that challenged me, and I am a Pentecostal, I was saved in a Pentecostal church, I've been brought up in a Pentecostal church, and you have a sign out there that says what? Cheriton Pentecostal Church. And so we believe in the Holy Spirit, I hope. We believe what the Holy Spirit can do. And it says here, your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. And the challenge to me, and I guess you're looking at me and saying, well, you're an old man, because I'm a year older than last time I came down here. But whatever category you put yourselves in, and I don't really want to define between dreams and visions, because I think they're kind of similar. But the question that challenged me, and I felt God say to me, where are your dreams? Where are your dreams? Where are your visions? Have you got them? Where are they? Where am I? What has God put in my heart to see fulfilled? Because in the Amplified version of Acts chapter 2, it says, young men will see divinely prompted visions. And your old men will dream divinely prompted dreams. And I was challenged, what has God put within me? What dream, what vision has God put within me? Because I believe the Holy Spirit is continually being poured out on all flesh. So, and I say to you this morning, as a Pentecostal church, what are your dreams? What are your visions? Divinely prompted dreams and visions. What are they? It's a big challenge. I'm not talking about kind of fanciful dreams or pie in the sky stuff. That's the Amplified version. Divinely prompted dreams that God wants us to fulfill. You see, I'm sure 2 or 3 months ago, David here had a dream of Nigeria winning the World Cup. I mean, that's quite fanciful, isn't it? You know, pie in the sky stuff. I have to say, they had probably the best football shirt going. I thought that was a really good thing. Wouldn't mind one of those myself, but that was good. I had dreams of England winning the World Cup. Probably even more fanciful. You see, I'm 69 now. I know you won't believe that, but I am. And I could argue, well, I've served God in my generation. I'm now retired, although I don't think you ever retire in the kingdom of God. I'm in my twilight years, if you like. Perhaps health hasn't been good over the last few years. I could put my slippers on and sit with my feet up. Because I've served God in my generation. But you know, I was challenged because it says old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. And I was challenged. What has God got for me to do? What vision, what dream has God got me to want me to fulfil? I have to say, since we kind of officially retired as a local pastor, when we look back over those last few years, Joy and I can't believe what God has led us into and God has moved us into. And a few years ago, God gave me a vision, a dream, a heart to help younger pastors or pastors that are struggling. And I thought, God, I don't know how you're going to fulfill that. So we just, a couple of people that we knew, just contacted them and built a relationship, and then that expanded a bit. And then after a year or so, local AOG said, hey, would you like to come on our team and become a pastor to the pastors? So another step of fulfilling that dream. And since we've been back, I've contacted a few people I hadn't had a chance to contact before, and you know, replies are coming back in. So God is fulfilling that dream. And I say to you this morning, what dreams have you got? What God divinely prompted, divine God dreams have you got? And then I considered all of this, and we were at the conference, and there was this, we were in the O2, and probably any time between 15 and 20,000 people there, Christians. Majority of them, in fact, probably 99.9% of them younger than me. A lot of them are a lot younger than me. And as this guy was preaching, I thought to myself, if these young guys can get hold of this, what potential there is for the kingdom of God. What potential there is for the kingdom of God. If they avail themselves of the Holy Spirit. Because as Brother Rob said this morning, arise, shine, for your light has come. Has come. God has poured out his spirit. All we need to do is apply it and allow it and have a greater capacity for it in our lives and allow God to inspire us with some God-given dreams and visions. And I say to you this morning, as a church, doesn't matter what age you are, whether you're male or female, I want to encourage you this morning to allow God to give you some dreams and some visions for yourself and for this church. And I say to you this morning, if you do that, what potential is there? Doesn't matter what age you are, whether that's young or old, God can still give you a dream and a vision to fulfill. Are you challenged? Or can you just switch off from God and say, well, I'll just go through the motions. As our brother said this morning, we can. We become professional Christians. Or we can go through the motions. But if you allow God to give you something in your heart that gives you passion, gives you a dream, gets hold of you, and allow God to work that through in your life, what potential there is. Psalm 139, verse 14, says these words. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Notice it says, God made me. God formed me. God saw me. God shaped me. God put me together. God planned my life before I was even born. for his purposes. Why? Because it says it's written in his book. It's written in his book. It's written in his book. God has a dream and a vision for you that he wants to plant inside of your heart and life. See, God sees the potential in you, even when we don't. And our response is just to say, as we've already said two or three times this morning, Lord, you're number one. You know what's best. And I give myself to you. Work in my life to fulfill your plans and your purposes. Jeremiah 29, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." God says, "I know the plans I have for you. I formed you. They're written in my book." See, God has a dream for you. God has a plan for you. And he wants to fulfill it. And so I come back to the question again, and I challenge you. What dreams and visions have you got from God for your life, for the life of your church? It's a big challenge. It's a big challenge. But I want to encourage you. For some of us, it may be going back, if you like, to the spiritual drawing board and saying, God, what are your plans for me? And some of you may have had plans, may have had dreams a few years ago or many years ago, and they're not being fulfilled. And God says, let's get them out. Let's dust them off. Let's fan them into flame. You may be working through your dream. I don't know. You see, Paul says to the church in Philippi, for it is God works in you to will and act to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So I say, God's got a dream for you. God's got a plan for you. They're written in his book. And all he wants for us to do is to step in to his plan. And when we do that, I say, what potential? What potential? What is God putting in your heart? What does God want to put in your heart? You know, and when we do that, I think two things happen. One, we begin to enjoy what we're doing because we're in God's will. We're in God's purposes. We're, in a sense, living the dream. I asked this morning, and this isn't a criticism, how many of us are actually delight in our life generally? How many of us can say, this is what I was made for? I'm living the dream. I had a friend quite a few years ago now. He had a dream. Not a dream, he had a vision. He had a desire of something in his heart where he wanted to help those that were in debt, had money problems. And he came to the church that we led, and again, to cut a long story short, we began to work with CAP organisation, Christians Against Poverty, and we became the local church for Maystone that had the CAP Centre, Christian Poverty Centre, and we had a couple of debt coaches. And this after a few years, and it wasn't easy to get there, but we got there in the end, and he was the debt coach and is now an area manager. I remember a few years ago, and talking to him about what he was doing and how he was doing it. And he said these words to me after a few years. He said, do you know what? He said, I really feel this was what I was born for. And his other words were, I'm living the dream. I'm living the dream. God had put something in his mind, a dream, a vision of what he could be doing. And we haven't seen hundreds come to Christ through it. We've seen a few, thank God. And we've seen a lot more freed from debt because he was prepared to live his dream. And it wasn't easy. You know, he had to live on less money than he was before. But okay, he was fulfilling the dream. Amen. So, challenge you this morning. We may have to go back to God and say, God, what's your dream for me? What dream do you want to put in my heart? Lord, fan into flame that dream, that vision, that desire, that thing you put in my heart 20 years ago, 5 years ago. I don't know. You see, my friend, he was beginning to live his dream, his divinely prompted dream. And you know when you're living what God wants you to do, because you wake up in the morning and you say, good morning, Lord. And if you're not living the dream, you wake up and you might say, good Lord, it's morning. There's a difference. Time is going very quickly. You know, there's a lot of people in history who've worked out the dream, the passion, the thing that God has put in their hearts. We've just seen, I don't know whether you are interested in sport, but at the moment the European Athletics Championships are on. We've done quite well, really. But you know, you're rarely successful at things unless you've got a passion for it, unless you've got a heart for it, unless in the Christian world, unless God has put something in your heart. But even with normal athletes, why are they so good? Because they have a passion for it. They have a heart for it. They have this dream of winning a gold medal, winning a medal at championships. You see, in the Bible, Moses was passionate about setting his people free from the Egyptian bondage. And God had given him like a vision, a dream, and he was passionate about it. And he lived his dream. Paul in the Bible was passionate about sharing the good news. He was passionate about it. In history, a guy named William Wilberforce had a dream, and he was passionate about abolishing slavery. And he did it. Gandhi was passionate about liberating his country from British rule. He had this dream. Martin Luther was passionate about reforming the church. God had given him a dream. Another guy, Martin Luther King, had a passion for equality and for justice, and he influenced the world. And do you remember his famous words? I have a dream. I have a dream. Can you honestly say this morning, in God, I have a dream. You know, God wants to put a dream in all our hearts and all our lives. And I want to encourage you this morning to seek God and allow him to put something in your life. For most people, it's already there. Very often it's, what are you good at? What do you enjoy doing? It's already there, calling them almost dormant. And God will ignite that and fan it into flame and use it for his kingdom and for his glory. Back in Psalm 139, he made us, he formed us, he put us together, he wired us. He's already, in a sense, done it. And we just need to kind of step into that if we're not already in it. So often, though, the dream fades, and we'll perhaps come on to that next week or next time I'm down. I want to encourage you this morning, as Pentecostals, as believers, as people for whom the Holy Spirit has been poured out. One of the effects and one of the realities is that it says old men, young men will see visions, old young men and even women will see visions, and old men and older women will dream dreams. God prompted, God inspired dreams. That list of people I read out, many of those fulfilled their dreams. Moses, Paul, William Wilberforce, people like that, Martin Luther King, fulfilled their dreams. They were prepared to believe God to fulfill their dreams. As I said earlier, sometimes, and we'll just touch on it this morning, sometimes those dreams get dim. Those things in our hearts stop. The passion that we have is killed. It's like a spiritual cholesterol. And they cause us to conform to the world around us rather than being the unique person that God wants us to be and to fulfill his dream for our lives. A number of things that come across our lives that would stop us or dim our dream. And we'll just touch on one this morning before we finish, because time is going. Have you ever tried to live your dream and it hasn't worked out? It wasn't how you thought it would be, not as you'd hoped or intended. Perhaps you've been hurt or bruised, and we tend to pull back, because we're disappointed. We go so far, it doesn't work out how we thought it would be, and we're disappointed. And so we pull back. And we think, I'm not going to get disappointed again. I'm not going to get hurt again. And we pull back into our shell. The Bible speaks about that in the book of Proverbs. It says, hope deferred, that means a dream, an ambition, a desire deferred, makes the heart sick. And if God has put something in you, and you fall back from it, perhaps because of disappointment or for any other reason, hope deferred, that dream deferred, that passion deferred, it says in Proverbs, makes the heart sick. Can I say to you this morning, if at first you don't succeed, welcome to the human race. If at first you don't succeed, don't give up, don't be disappointed. You're normal. Fan it into flame. Whatever God has given you to do, to be, that dream, that vision, fan it into flame. You know, Walt Disney, the inventor of Disney and Disney World, he got sacked from a newspaper for lack of ideas. At first, he didn't succeed. Look at the Disney empire now. Henry Ford, the car manufacturer, went bust a number of times before he was successful. Now a world, as we know, a worldwide company. At first, if at first you don't succeed, welcome to the world. Steve Jobs got sacked from Apple Corporation before he returned to make it probably the biggest company in the world. If at first you don't succeed, welcome. James Dyson. You know James Dyson? And I saw this yesterday, which surprised me. He made 5,126 prototype bagless vacuum cleaners before getting it right. He failed over 5,000 times before he got it right. And now, probably the biggest vacuum cleaner company in the world. So often we stop because of disappointment. Can I say this morning, don't let disappointment in the past rule your life now. Don't let disappointment stop you allowing God to fulfill your dream. Often used to say in an Alpha course, I've run many Alpha courses, and very often people struggled to accept the wonder of the gospel. How could God forgive me? I've been such an awful person. How can God forgive me? I've been so bad in the past. I don't deserve it. And I used to say, no, you don't, but that's the wonder of the gospel. And I often used to say, don't let the past control your future. And I say this morning to all of you, and this is where we'll close. Don't let the past, the failures, the disappointments, the dimming of the dream, the stopping of the heart, the quenching of the passion that you may well have had in the past, don't let that affect your future. Believe God. Believe God to fulfill the dream, the passion, the heart that he's put in within you. You know, as I said earlier on, we may, for some of you, and I say to you younger people, and quite a few here are younger than me, dream the dream, not the fanciful ones. Allow God to work in your life. Put a dream in your life. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I've read it in Acts chapter 2. Nothing wrong with it. It's in the Word of God. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, upon men and women, young and old, one of the things that will happen, it says you will dream dreams, you will have visions. I encourage you to seek God for his dream for your life. Whatever is written in his book, step into that. Step into that. And what potential you will have for life. For some of us older folk, and I include myself in that, what dreams have you still got to fulfill? I don't know how many years I've got left. If I believe the Bible, probably about 1 year, because it's 3 to 4 years and 10, isn't it? Well, hopefully it'll be a lot longer than that. Hopefully. But I want to serve God. And I want God to continue to put that passion, that desire in my life to fulfill his purposes in my life, to fulfill the dream. Some of the dreams he's already fulfilled. Some he's still working out. And who knows? There may be another dream for me to fulfill. Because it's old men will dream dreams. God prompted dreams. What's God got in store for you? I don't know. God knows, because it's written in his book. God knows. And some of you may be saying, well, I'm on the twilight years. But you never retire in the kingdom. So believe God to use you. Believe for God to fulfill your dreams. And some of you may have had dreams years ago that just haven't quite worked out. They've dimmed. They haven't really come to fruition. Can I encourage you just to go back to God and say, God, I really believe you put this in my heart. You gave me that passion, and it for some reason it didn't work out. Lord, I'm coming back to you, the God of restoration. The God who can restore that passion, restore that dream. What potential there is in that. So I encourage you this morning, every one of you, young and old, male, female, whoever you are, to ask God to fulfill that dream, that passion, that heart that he's put within you. As I said earlier on, at a conference, kind of probably 15 to 20,000 people, younger than me. And if they got hold of the truth of what's in God's word and began to live the dream, not fanciful things, but God prompted, God divine dreams. What potential? What potential there is? We could see the world changed. Martin Luther, I have a dream. And that dream was in some ways fulfilled. Say to God, if you know what dream God's put within your life, say to God, I have a dream. God, help me. Help me to fulfill it. Help me to bring it to pass. Help me to work out what your vision is for my life. And I believe that's the kind of prayer that God answers, because we're walking in his will, walking in his purposes, doing what he wants us to do. God, help us to live the dream, your dream for us. Amen. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you that you're so interested in us. Lord, that you want to work in and through us. Lord, as we read your word, we see many times when you just work through people. And you put a purpose and a passion in their lives. You gave them a dream. And Lord, you worked through and in them to fulfill that dream. Lord, I just pray this morning for everybody in this building here this morning. Lord, that you will just bless their lives. Lord, you will open up the truth of your word in their hearts. Father, where the dreams have dimmed, Lord, I just pray that you will set them afire again, set them alight again. Lord, where people are maybe just struggling to know what you have for them, Lord, reveal your purposes in their lives. Give them a dream, Lord. Give them a passion, whatever that may be, Lord, because we know we're all different. But Lord, just give them a passion, a dream in their lives. And Lord, for each one of us, may we walk in the way that you want us to walk and do the things that you want us to do. Yes. Lord, you ask us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, that's what we want to walk in. Lord, beyond the disappointments, beyond the hurts, beyond everything else, Lord, help us to do your will and your purposes in our lives. Amen. 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 Lord, bless you. Amen. Lord, bless you.
You know, it's a blessing this morning to be here and to